Bonjour, I'm Daryl Northbird, and welcome to the Ojibwe Way of Life Show. We're going to be taking you through 52 weeks of different subjects regarding the Ojibwe people. We're going to be talking about their lives, food, social habits, language, amongst other things. The Ojibwes are 100,000 strong here in the United States, roughly 75,000 more in Canada. We are the third largest tribe in the United States, Cherokees and Navajos being the first. So welcome, put your ears on, and we're going to be going through some good things here. So stay tuned, and thank you for joining us. I'm Daryl Northbird, and this is the Ojibwe Way of Life. Miigwech. And that's a sign for us to go ahead and, you know, start our fall ceremonies, you know, and time to go and think about what we're going to do and for our sacred items. And, you know, this is something that is told to us as we're growing up. And the elders, they started those types of things, you know. They get things going. I'd see them sit around and start discussing things and look at the time of the year, look at the signs, and you can tell, you know, that they'd say things like, well, the leaves are starting to fall, and, or it's getting cold now, and start to look at those types of things, and it's time for us to start thinking about getting ready and preparing things and get those things out there, and go look at the things that we have, and to keep those alive as well, just like our memories, you know. We got to keep them alive. We think of those things every now and again, and what do? We'll talk about them, you know, and express our feelings, you know, whether they're good or bad, you know, or what has transpired, what has taken place, you know, things that add to our own life and how we are, what made us who we are, and the things that we do, you know. And also these things determine, you know, what we're kind of made of, you know, what we're doing, you know, and also that your children will watch, and they'll either learn and take to it and pass it on and keep it going, as mine do. My son, just one of my kids, and the others do too, but my son, he really gravitates to this, and he really tries to pick it up and keep it going, and I'm really proud of all of them, and they want to learn, and they want to know, and I have never press them to learn this. I always wanted them to come to the realization themselves that there's something missing. And the things Dad does, you know, he picks this up and he keeps going with it. What's he doing? And you ever hear those coyote teachings where you string them along and show them the way, and one day, all of a sudden, you know, it clicks. And, yeah, they want to know. They want to learn. And so then it's time. The teacher is still there. The teacher has been waiting patiently, which is you, you know. And all along, you know, others have asked you for your help. And, yeah, you still do that in your children. They watch and they wait and they learn. And they watch you do those things, and they know of them. And then all of a sudden, you know, it just happens. One day they showing up and they say, Dad, you know, how do you do this? Why do we do this? You know, what are these? And they just start asking questions. And then they want to do the same thing for themselves. And then you give them the answers, you know, well, We do this because this adds to our life. This keeps your sacred circle strong inside of you, your two halves, like we talked about in the last show. And then, you know, you start to teach them how to keep that circle strong, what the things that you're going to do, and you start adding to their life. And you talk about the little fires that, you know, the home fire, how you got to keep that sacred and strong, you know. And then the next home fire is your siblings and their family, your mother, your father, and then your grandparents. And then you go stretch out a little further, then you talk to you about your nieces, nephews, aunts, uncles. And then the next fire, you know, you're on the community. There's another fire there. And then you start teaching them all of those things, you know, and how you conduct yourself around those fires, and where you've been and how you're doing. And then you adjust accordingly, you know. Once you get on in the communities, you know, you got to just do as they have done, you know, or they doing, you know. And you don't bring that along until one day you're asked, and then it's time for you to pass your information on and do what you were taught and how you were told. And then it continues on and on and on. And those, like now, you know, my kids are talking about it's the fall, Dad. What are we doing, you know? When are we gathering? What's going to happen? And we can tell them, you know. Tell them, well, this is what's got to be done. And they go ahead and do it, you know. I don't really have to ask them. They'll just come and they'll ask me. And then I don't have to ask them to do it. They'll just do it. You know, it's really, really an amazing thing, you know, when you let your children pick and choose. And sometimes, you know, their life might not be the one you wanted for them, but eventually it'll straighten out, and eventually it'll happen if you are steadfast and you keep going on the path that you're going. And that's for them and for everybody else and for generations to come. And they'll remember you. They'll talk about you. Remember when. We do that too. So, and I always do that. I always reference my elders all the time, you know, when we do things. Because they're going to ask you when you were and when did you learn this. And you have to be prepared to answer. Okay, well, we come to another end of the Ojibwe Way of Life. And we will talk again next week. Thanks for listening. Thank you for tuning on in. This is John Lartbear. This was the Ojibwe Way of Life. I hope you enjoyed our subject today, and we'll be back in next week. So stay tuned and come on back. We'll see you again next week. Thank you. Meet you.